everybody. This is the RSN Wrestling Podcast, your news site, your news podcast here, talking about wrestling, professional wrestling, WWE, ROH, TNA, Lucha Underground, etc., etc. We're here today to talk about draft, the WWE draft. All kinds of sports, all over you see drafts. NFL has a draft every year. NBA has a draft every year. It's always usually the newer stars that come up, the newer college athletes that come up into the bigger ranks and then make their mark. It's that time again. After, I'd say about, was it 4 years, 5 years? We're back to that. It's time to shake things up. And right now we're talking about basically the draft that's coming up and also about the previous draft that's recently happened also. Before talking about this draft, we also have to talk about some other stuff also, which include this. Let me tell you guys something. So I got Rich over here, and I got Nick over here.
What's up, guys?
Howdy.
Nick, let me tell you something. So you know what I was doing? I was sitting home one day. So I'm thinking about, okay, what am I going to do today? You know, I've done all my homework. I'm done all my shit. I'm doing nothing. Summer's, you know, summer basically heat. It's hot as shit outside. And I'm thinking, what do I do? So I'm like, damn, you know, I haven't watched Lucha Underground, like, I'd say, what, a week or two? I'm like, oh, man, you know, how am I going to watch all that? How am I going to catch up? I keep seeing stuff. So, you know, I do.
You feel like you're back in time.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, so I'm just looking. I'm like, why would I want to watch this? I keep watching up, you know, recent things, and I'm like, whoa, you know. So what do you know I do? I go to PWO, Pro Wrestling Opinion. Go up to all the different articles there, see if everything, all that. And specifically, I look at the Lucha Underground there, and I'm looking there, and I'm saying, holy shit, this happened. Oh my God, that happened too. Holy shit, I got to go watch this episode.
Hey, and, Sal, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I was basically the same thing as you, but
really?
I wasn't behind on anything. I was just wondering what's happening in the world of wrestling. I went to really? ProWrestlingOpinion.com, and I was reading articles, and I was like, wow, I didn't even know that happened.
But that's the deal with Pro Wrestling Opinion. You can get all your news, all your stuff. Matter of fact, let me just let the man talk.
Don't you know the guy who runs that website?
I think I do. Wait, it's starting to ring a bell. Wait.
Oh, wait. I think he's
online
with us.
Oh, my God. He really is. It's, oh, my God, it's Nick. Nick, you got to tell us about PWO.
Yes, I'll be more than happy to break out the good word. I do applaud your guys' ideas, you know, whenever you're bored and, you know, you need something to do, want to catch up on something, don't feel like actually watching the show, come to my site, ProWrestlingOpinion.com. We do segment-by-segment breakdown and analysis of ongoing mainstream and independent shows. We cover it all from WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, West Coast Wrestling Connection, America's Most Liked Wrestling Live, some nice stuff in there. As far as what's new on the site, I just did an interview with Dynamo Pro Wrestling. They're based out of St. Louis, Missouri. I just did an interview with the media relations director, Luke Roberts. He's also a ring announcer for the company. Talked to us a little bit about what it was like for the company starting from 2007. And basically just pushing hard on social media and creating a really loyal fan base down there in St. Louis. And just the daily struggles that can come with, you know, trying to build a company. But they do 50 shows, you know, every 2 years. So, you know, they're growing. And also on the show, I had the privilege of talking to the DPW heavyweight champion, Dirty Jake Durden, a name who might be synonymous with some fans for the ROH Top Prospect Tournament back in 2015. He was eliminated by Donovan Dijak, who has gone on to do really good things in the company. So he has been over in Pro Wrestling NOAH. He's wrestled Takeshi Murashima. He's making a name for himself out there. It's a really good interview. I really recommend you guys check it out. It's right there up on the homepage. Also have it on YouTube. And also on YouTube, you can check out some of our past classics like Rise and Fall of ECW, Rise and Fall of WCW, our latest international stars. We got hours worth of material. So, if you got nothing better to do, or maybe you do have something better to do, forget those plans, check us out. We're here. That's all we could say.
And we're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Indeed, we're not going anywhere. But also, I mean...
Nowhere!
Indeed. Well, you know, in all honesty, though, if you go to PWO, there's some great articles there, some great reviews, all these different, you know, the coverage on the different promotions and everything. I mean, when you actually read into those articles, you actually get interested. You actually look at it and say, wow, I should really be watching this. Matter of fact, watching TNA, I think when I read one of those articles, that's when I really got interested in watching it and trying to check it out, like, oh, you know, what's going on, especially with this recent Hardy program going on and all this. But, I mean, go check it out for yourself. We have it on Facebook. We have a link there. It's Pro Wrestling Opinion, and give it a check and all that stuff. But moving on, we got to talk about this, the draft. But speaking of the draft, we got to talk about past drafts. I mean, NFL, like we said before, NFL has a draft. Almost every organization, sports organization, has some kind of draft where they bring in new stars, bring in a new flavor, and that is a sort of a moving, you know, moving up from one place to another.
The only thing different between other sports drafts and the WWE one, there's no real, like, stars calling up. It's just superstars getting drafted to one show or the other. The only difference between this year's, from what I'm hearing, is they're actually going to include NXT stars.
Yeah, I mean,
which is going to be a big, that's going to be big if they actually do include NXT stars.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at previous drafts also, previous drafts they had people just randomly call up and then, you know, out of the blue they draft them. And then they show up on Raw or SmackDown.
And they also had the surprise stars coming back.
Yeah, they had people coming back. They also had one time where in 2000, matter of fact, it was the early 2000s. Let's go back, matter of fact, before we talk about, you know, NXT, the current draft and all that. Because if you think about, like, let's backtrack all the way back to the first draft, where it was Vince McMahon and Ric Flair. Both of them are on either side. SmackDown was recently introduced as a second show as part of WWE's programming. They recently went public in, I believe, 1998, and then they started going on the steamrolling path as having this episodic show. And to see where SmackDown has gone, it's gone leaps and bounds. I mean, at that time, it was more of like you know, okay, you say who you want to pick, and then I say who I want to pick kind of thing. Do you guys feel like this is going to be that kind of draft, or do you guys feel like it's going to be a draft like in, let's say, 2007, 8, 9, 10, where it was, okay, you know, two people fight it out, and then, you know, they show up like the little Titantron, you know, what's going to happen, and then, boom, someone pops up, and then people get shot.
I think it's going to be a superstar from... Actually, you can't even do that, because since everyone's involved in the draft, you can't really do a Raw superstar versus a SmackDown superstar.
Yeah, I feel like it feels
so
like
they're probably just gonna have, like, I'm just gonna throw like two random names. They're gonna have like Ambrose fight Rollins, and then Shane's gonna come out because he's the commissioner of SmackDown. He's gonna announce his pick. Next one, Stephanie's gonna come out and announce her pick. I don't think it's gonna be like the superstar versus superstar from a show and a show. This is going to be fight, announce pick, fight, announce pick, like that, how it was back in the early 2000s.
You're saying, where it was they had that list 1 to 15, and then, like, people called out names. You're talking about that kind, right?
Yeah, the original draft.
I see. And what about you, Nick? What do you think?
I think the actual concept of the draft picks got less exciting as time went on, because you could see that they're obviously trying to find a way to fill time on a marathon episode of Raw. Because you remember those three-hour draft episodes that didn't really give us anything exciting.
I used to have to go online to get the rest of the draft.
Exactly. I don't know who's eating Tic Tacs over there, but the fact that I can't get any is really depressing. But going back to what I'm saying before, you know, I think this kind of situation, it would be best to go back to the basics. You know, just have the announcements throughout the night. I mean, yeah, you can have matches, but I would say keep the match, you know, I'd say, you know, because they have the matches to make, the draft picks feel more important. But when you really look at it, it was just only filler. So I would say have filler matches throughout the night and then have the announcements made, you know, maybe on the last hour so you can really solidify what the brand is going to look like. And boom, you go right into SmackDown, people wondering, all right, what can Shane do with this band of people? So I think how they'll map it out is probably going to be similar to what they did with the match, you know, with the matches happening for draft picks and things of that nature. But because they're starting from scratch, it's a little bit hard to determine who's going to fight who, because like you said in the first match, who's going to fight each other, you know, because no one's a solidified Raw or SmackDown person.
I believe they said everyone's available.
Yeah, everyone is available. It could be bad, but I can't see how this could fail. But I think they've been wanting to do this for a long time, and they've been waiting for the roster to get big enough. Now that they actually have the chance to do it, the sky's the limit. I just wonder if creative themselves, if there's going to be a Raw team and a SmackDown team, or if the whole team is just going to go over, okay, this is what we're doing for Raw, and all right, this is what we're doing for SmackDown. So I don't know what the creative approach is going to be for that.
Well, we all know where Sal's favorite person is going to be for creative, whichever show is horrible.
I hope that person is not there. I hope that person is in a ditch, dying. I hope Triple H brings out his trusty little shovel and buries this person. And, I mean, of course, you know what we're talking about.
Do you want that person to be with a certain redhead?
Matter of fact, you can take the redhead and the blackhead. Whatever his name is. You know, the guy that recently got suspended. The guy, you know?
The guy.
Yeah, the guy. Yeah, you could take all three of them,
I personally like the dude.
The dude? I mean, yeah, the dude is pretty good. What about the man? I mean, let's talk about, you know, this the card that's stacked up. Nick, I'm sure you're aware of the card, right, for, what's it called? Battleground, right?
No, actually, I have not. I have tried to stay away from the spoilers, but...
Oh,
I mean, I couldn't really tell where it was going. I mean, I'm guessing some feuds are continuing, but I've managed to like steer clear of like what it's going to look like. I'm sure they were planning to probably do a triple threat Shield reunion kind of thing for the title.
You actually hit it right on the nose.
You actually did.
But you hit it right on the nose.
Suspended for a month. I can't see how that's possible.
They're still going to let them do what they said.
I mean, when you look at previous drafts, they've had people that have got suspended and, you know, stuff, things have happened. I mean, look at in 2006. 2006 was a pretty big year. I mean, in that specific year, you had the draft happen, but it wasn't like a thing where it was like people had a podium or they picked something out of a bingo hall, you know, little set that they had there or whatever. They just went ahead and people just came out and they said, oh, who's the draft pick for Raw? Oh my God, John Cena. And then, oh, who's the first, the last draft pick for SmackDown? Batista. Oh my God.
Batista.
Batista. But back then, that was pretty interesting when you saw those kind of things. But along the lines of that, I mean, there have been times where Vince has gotten pretty, you know, he's gotten behind someone, they draft them, and then there's this plan of how to scale them, how to put them in feuds and everything, and he was kind of high on certain people. But then that totally just fell off. For example,
we knew who he was high on, the big, brolic bodybuilder type.
And matter of fact, when you talk about, to reference that, 2007, the ECW champion got drafted, Bobby Lashley, who is currently their TNA world champion. I mean...
Hey, just throwing out there, he's done much better since he left the company.
I think he's done, yeah. But you gotta think, like, after that, what does his career look like? You know, it seemed like they kind of had the stars lined up for him and said, okay, you're gonna be up against this guy, and then we're gonna build you like Goldberg. And then next thing you know, everything just got derailed.
You know why I think they weren't high on Lashley, though? Everyone has said this. What's one thing WWE has never had? What kind of champion?
All around?
No.
What
the race.
Mean?
The race.
Oh, the race, meaning he was a black champion, that's why.
Exactly. They never had a black champion.
Well, let me draw another comparison. Look at Apollo Crews, for example. Vince supposedly is very hard on him. I mean, when you think about, he started in NXT pretty early, and then compared to the other guys, he came up to the main roster pretty quickly. It seems like WWE has this kind of, they're kind of pushing him, you know? But, like, this goes with any star that they push. I mean, in your minds, do you guys feel like this draft can help certain people?
Yeah, that's the...
I think it can hurt people, too.
Yeah, I mean...
So let's talk about how it can help and hurt people. Maybe, Nick...
I'm just going to throw two names out there that this could hurt. I'm just throwing two names out there.
It can hurt anybody. I mean, yeah.
People will agree with this one, too. Enzo and Cass. If they break them up, that's going to hurt the tag team.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
they have to stick together. What's it called? It's hard to really go with that because, you know, Cass has that build of the exact kind of guy Vince wants on top, but he's still developing.
The reason I'm saying that because the only time you really saw them separate is when Enzo broke his leg in NXT, and when Enzo got his concussion against the Vaudevillains on the main roster. That's the only time you saw Cass by himself.
Yeah, and I think Cass is good on his own, but he really sells the duo with Enzo, and they're just such a...
I think he just has to work on the mic, that's it. Then he'll be the perfect guy for a singles run.
He's got the charisma to pull off Mike's promo. It's just, it depends on the material that he's got for it. So exactly. Sometimes it's hit or miss on his own. But with Enzo, you know, there's an 80% chance. Yeah, it's an 80% chance that it's a much better promo. And at the time where their team is just starting to get warmed up on the main roster, I don't see the point of breaking them up or even, like, creating doubt that... they would still be a team after the draft. I think where you should break up teams should be like teams like Lucha Dragons or teams like Dudley Boys. You know, those are teams that you could break up and, you know, they could flourish on their own. Everyone wants to see Bubba Ray as a heel.
People want Bully Ray.
As a singles heel, similar to his Bully Ray character. That's kind of what he's doing right now in WWE. He's just got D-Von with them. And they're not doing anything with the Dudley Boys, honestly.
They're jobbing the team right now.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about the tag division, for example, right now. Do you guys feel like they'll keep it? Going back
to what Nick said, though, about splitting up the Lucha Dragons, we all know you love Kalisto.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is true, right? You love Kalisto.
We love Kalisto. I think that he's the next Rey Mysterio, for sure.
So, because he's been on a singles run for how long when Sin Cara was injured? And look what he did. 2 U.S. titles.
He did it all by himself. I mean,
So if they want to split up the Lucha Dragons, that's fine. Because Kalisto's amazing by himself, and Sin Cara is going to be injured for the rest of his career.
That's true. I mean, but let me ask you guys this. Do you guys feel like they're going to strip people, they're going to break up tag teams in this draft? I mean, if you look at previous drafts, they've done that many times before, and many times it's failed. Both where they've separated people, they put them in separate shows, and then next thing you know, everything just gets derailed, and then they end up putting them back together out of nowhere.
To a certain extent, certain teams have done well after they broke up as singles competitors from the draft.
Give me an example.
The APA.
For JBL, I think. But in those situations, you really, I mean, would you agree with me on this? Most of the, like, when they separate people, it usually benefits one person, not the other person.
Oh, you want
an example from
both?
I mean, when you look at, like, the Hardys, for example, the Hardys broke up. Who shined more, you know? I mean, of course, you know?
They both equally did well.
Yeah.
From the breakup, the Hardys, but me and Nick were talking about this. I wasn't a fan of the whole Matt Hardy MVP storyline as single competitors.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I was kind of...
Nick thought it was great.
It was great long-term storytelling.
I was iffy with it because I'm like, rivals. Really?
Oh, what were you saying, Nick?
you take two rivals, you just have them at a war of words, and then you just so much of rivals that just through the spirit of competition, you start to get a bond, and then they become a tag team. And then I believe the storyline went that he used the tag team to turn on him again. And it just, you know, it re-sparked the whole feud. It's a great example of long-term storytelling because it takes the fan on a ride. You know, you go on an emotional low, an emotional high. You know, that's how you do it. As far as, like, what other teams could do, I mean, yeah, of course you break a team up. One guy is going to rise to the occasion and the other one's kind of going to just sell by. Not really sure what they're going to do with these teams, but I do think a big beneficial factor that the draft offers is that, you know, it's a lot easier to push one guy since it's easier to showcase him on top of the card of one show. And you don't overexpose the guy since he won't be on the other show during the week. You know, his segment will stick out a lot more. I think one of the biggest stars from a draft in particular, you know, was Edge, who more or less became synonymous with SmackDown. There was a time where you tuned into SmackDown just to see what the hell he was going to do next.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the way this, like with tag teams, either one star rises up and then another star usually doesn't have that good of a push, but then they eventually start getting up there. I mean, if you look back at the Dudleys, for example, Dudley in 2003 or 2002, Dudley split up. D-Von went to SmackDown, and Bully went. Bubba went to Raw, and then it was kind of we had the Reverend D-Von, and then we had the other deal there too. What's his name? With Bubba. But Bubba usually was stuck to that gimmick, whereas D-Von was able to, you know, break out into something that was more into his line, you know. But as a result, that came out with Batista. And, you know, with Bubba, he kind of went down, and then hopefully, you know, when he went to TNA, he did something big, and, you know, he broke out and did some other stuff, too. And that made him into one of the greatest heels of all time. But, I mean, so we talk about pretty much tag teams. What do you guys feel about, the Divas that are going on right now?
One Man.
Yes, because right now, there's this rumor right now. I mean, as far as the tag teams, they're saying that they're not going to split them up. But what about the women's? I mean, the women's, for example, right now, you see they brought back the women's title, took out the Divas title, and now there's this whole gap right now. There's been rumors that they're going to put the title on one brand, they're going to put the title on both brands. You know, how do you guys think that that's going to work?
I think, because if you look at the main roster's number of women, I think there are like 12 or 13 women on the roster. But a big part of it that is annoying me was the fact that the majority of the first half of the year was spent focusing on Charlotte and Natalya in an endless feud where they basically had to bring in Ric Flair and
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart to try to make it a little bit interesting, and then just trying to just drag out the story. I really think they just stuck the two women together in a feud because their roadblock match was pretty good, and you know it almost came to creating that magic of their original NXT match. But it was such a long, dragged out feud that it didn't help anybody, and it kind of put a bad flavor on the women's division for me. But you know, obviously other people came back, and you know now we have new blood to gush over, but oh. I think I still can't forgive WWE for the four freaking long months of Charlotte and Natalya in a never-ending feud. At least now they're going places with it. But
my whole thing with the Divas,
took a while to get there.
Whole thing with the Divas, are there enough Divas to actually do two titles?
There are, but they only focus on six women right now.
Yeah.
What's the point of even going there if you're going to just keep the roster short?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many Divas that are inactive right now. Look at Paige isn't there anymore.
No, she's Alicia, back. She's there.
But she's like barely, she's been bitching about not being in the ring. Look at, for example, also Alicia Fox. She hasn't been, wrestling for a long time.
Emma injured.
Emma's totally injured. You got who
Naomi
else?
Naomi injured. Tamina injured.
Mm-hmm. There's such a gap. I mean,
that's right there. That's four divas injured.
Yeah, and basically 10 divas on the whole roster. That's kind of like, what are you guys gonna do with that? You know,
this is probably gonna be the NXT call-up.
Well, they're saying that wherever there's a gap, they're gonna put NXT there. But it's kind of like if you guys have experience working at like let's say like a corporate store, Rich, you would know this, like at CVS. We know that pretty well. I mean, there's like people, there's people that will say, oh, you're gonna get that done by this day, right? Yeah, we're gonna get it done. Like, there's a manager that says, yeah, we'll get it done.
Meanwhile, they bring in three people from another store to do it.
And the thing is, the matter of fact that the guy's saying that, oh, he'll do it, but the fact of the matter is he's telling someone else to do it, but there's no guarantee. It's just like, remember when we do signs on, like, they'll say, oh, do signs. Yeah, we're gonna get it done. And it doesn't get done, and they're like, oh, why don't you guys get it done? Oh, because we were understaffed,
Well, not even that. Everyone was on register, so
yeah.
Just look at the numbers and see how much we made last night.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's every single job pretty much where it goes like this too. I mean, Nick, you probably had this kind of situation too, where they put people in this position, they rush them, and then they say, oh, you're ready, and the next thing you know, when the time comes, they're not ready. They flop. They don't do well. So do you guys feel like it's the same situation where they're rushing the NXT roster too much? Because if you look at the rumored call-ups, they're saying Finn is obviously probably going to transfer, is going to go. But
he's been getting called up since January, though.
Hell, even before that, they're saying that he's going to come way before that.
Every week. Finn Balor is backstage. Finn Balor is taking pictures backstage at Raw.
Yeah, it's like...
So debut him already.
And then, like, I mean, well, he's ready. I think we all know that he's ready.
He's been ready since before he even signed with NXT.
Yeah, I mean, when you think at, like, for example, they're saying Nia Jax, she might be going to the main roster. Like,
I can actually see her doing well on the main roster, though. I think she's, like, the perfect diva for the main roster.
I feel like she is. She's, like, the next Awesome Kong, but, like, are they really ready? Because if you look at another name, American Alpha, they're saying they're going to bring him up, but... Are they really ready? They're fairly new,
They're exactly a year old. They're exactly a year old, but they're both... Jordan is a collegiate wrestler, and Chad Gable is an Olympic wrestler.
They're ready. Yeah. They're phenomenal. I think they're ready, too, but it comes to the question, too. Are they rushing these people too much? Are they expecting too much out of the NXT talent to the point where NXT is just going to be overrun and, taken down and, raided, and then NXT just becomes this mediocre brand like ECW was or NXT was in 2010. That's my fear.
Look how successful NXT is.
They're a global phenomenon. I mean, they sold out Brooklyn recently again.
Just throwing it out there, they're better than Raw and SmackDown put together.
They definitely are.
And they're only an hour show.
That's another thing. And another thing is the production-wise. Let me emphasize on the production. It's not stupid-ass Kevin Dunn doing the production.
You said the name. How dare you?
I don't give a fuck. Fuck that stupid-ass buck-tooth-wearing motherfucker. Fuck him. Because, I mean, honestly...
This is a Triple H product.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's the thing. Triple H is basically producing it. He's producing it from start to finish. He's involved in it 100%. To have someone else produce it, doing all that... I mean, you got to admit, that's something interesting. That's what makes NXT so good, right? Is because it's totally different from what Raw and SmackDown is, right? But,
like I said, they do all this in an hour.
Yeah.
1 hour they get this done. It takes Raw an hour and a half to actually become good. SmackDown is just a lost cause.
I mean, when you really think about it, there's a lot of pressure, too. I mean, with running Raw, you're dealing with sponsors, you're dealing with USA Network, you're dealing with live TV. And, that's kind of like you have to be that way. That's more pressure, too. I can understand that. But, to the point, like, do you guys feel like they're kind of rushing NXT too much? And do you think that they're going to drain NXT too much?
Mm.
What do you feel, Nick?
What do you say, Nick?
I'm not sure. I mean, again, we're just mainly speculating on what could happen, but... I think the idea is that I think we all know eventually Triple H will probably take over the whole product maybe 5 years down the line, and he's showing, you know, his capabilities of what he can do with the brand like NXT, which he basically took from like a laughing stock and made it practically the ultimate alternative to WWE's main roster products. And now it's a bridge between, you know, NXT itself and the main roster. So it's in turn making the main roster better. And, you know, he's got like the Paul Heyman ability to just constantly be able to create new stars, look out on the horizon, see who's making a name for themselves, bring them in, build them up. You know, it never stops. For all the Seth Rollinses and Bray Wyatts that got called up, there came along the Sami Zayns, and there came along, you know, the Apollo Crews, and, you know, and right now you got Nakamura and Samoa Joe lighting it up. It's a constant wave of new people, and it's a mix of name recognition from the indies and just natural, their own developmental stars, you know, like American Alpha. You got the Revival in there. You know, it's a mix that's never gonna fail, and I especially love that he has such attention to detail in the product itself, like right down to the camera angles on the entrances. Like it goes smoothly every single time. You know, that attention to details is gonna be big when he runs Raw one day, and honestly, I can't wait for that. But as far as what the draft could do, I mean, NXT obviously does have a big, I'm not going to say a question mark, but a lot of eyes drawn to who can do what. But that's the thing about the draft, is it's set up for some to succeed, and it's set up for some to fail. And honestly, I'm a little bit scared to see who's going to end up doing what. But some of the other NXT acts like Enzo and Cass and Vaude Villains, you know, they already have the advantage of having that intro already. Now it's just a matter of, with this draft, can they stay relevant?
That is true. Nick, basically hit it right on the head.
Thank you, I try.
But, like, going back to what you said, Triple H took people from other companies and brought them in and worked them perfect. Like, he brought Kenta in. Yes, changed his name to Hideo Itami. And he did great before he got injured. He took Prince Devitt, brought him in, changed his name to Finn Balor, and now he's the biggest thing going in NXT. Next to Shinsuke Nakamura.
I mean, if you really look at it, the reason why Triple H has such success with all these stars that he's bringing in is because he can relate with them. He can relate with them on a wrestling level, like, you know, because he was there at that point doing that. He was there at this stage of his life, and he can relate with these people. So that's why they, and all these people, they actually have a deeper connection with him. I mean, they're saying that there's like a clique backstage, and he has a full, like, you know, he has a full thing inside of that too, you know? So, I mean, that's, I think, something that's going to put some kind of, you know, light into the, you know, the relationship that's there, you know, with all these different stars coming in and all that. And I think that's good for the business, because you're not just going to have another MVP or another Mr. Kennedy where they bring them in, they have this expectation of them, and the next thing you know, everything is derailed, they leave, they get into a conflict, something happens, there's a beef, and then they just walk out the door, and then the whole plan just got derailed. WWE, what they want is consistency. They want the same stars, people that people, you know, that people can gravitate towards, and they can really relate to. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges. I think that's, but this draft hopefully will bring that closer and make more of a better product. That's, I think, their hope right now. So we talked about Divas, we talked about tag teams. Let me ask you guys about the titles. What do you guys feel about that? Because in previous years, they've had titles jump back and forth from Raw to SmackDown, SmackDown to Raw. The SmackDown title was a WWE title. The Raw title was the world title, et cetera, et cetera. And then they had the IC title and, you know, the mid-card belts. What do you guys feel is going to happen for this whole, you know, upcoming draft? Do you guys feel, A, will there be another world title? B, will they have the mid-card titles on the same brand? Will they be on alternate brands? And which brands do you think that are going to happen? Or, and C, which, you know, what do you guys feel, should they have different titles for different divisions? Like, should SmackDown have their own world title? Should Raw have this own world title? And, you know, like, for the mid-card titles, I mean, for the tag titles, should be the same thing. Should SmackDown have their own set? Should Raw have their own set, you know, et cetera, et cetera. What do you guys feel about that?
I mean, it's a toss-up, honestly, but I think when you're obviously now they're making Raw and SmackDown their own individual shows, so when you have an individual show, you need individual titles. You need reasons for people to fight. You need reasons for guys to get over. You need reasons to have good matches. Titles are the foundation of storylines because they provide reasons to fight. And in the past, I never was a fan of all the title switching because honestly, it took the fun out of the brand itself, and it just made it more about the title. While I'm not saying it shouldn't be about the title, you can showcase the title in a different way. Because then once you got to the point where SmackDown was treated like, you know, it is the B show. Their world championship is not seen on the same level as the Raw championship. So even though you're calling it a world title, it doesn't really feel like a world title. It just feels like you're the best of the second place. Here, you're king of the runner-ups. You know, it's not a title you really want to show off, per se. But, I mean, it all comes down to how they're going to push this new SmackDown. The fact that it's live on Tuesday nights is going to be a big boost. I don't think now's the time to make a new title. I think they should just keep the focus on... Because, look, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship is a unification title in of itself. They wouldn't have put the belts together if they didn't feel one champion of one company is good enough. I mean, it's. I'm not sure if maybe they're going with the approach or where they want to create two different companies or something of that sort, but it's just more like two different TV shows. And on top of that, you need your World Championship program to sell views. If they need it to sell network views, they need it to sell commercials, they need it to sell everything, merchandise. You got to keep your eyes on the main event scene, and the only way you can do that is by having one consistent champion appear on both brands, because it emphasizes the importance of the world championship. It doesn't take another title and devalue it. Unless they really do put SmackDown on the same level as Raw, but we all know SmackDown has been treated like the second show for so long, it's going to take maybe a few years to shake that connotation. But I think they could do it. I think they can do it. Do I think they should do it? I don't personally think so. I think it's a lot safer just sticking with one champion. That's just how I feel. But
you're saying that for all brands?
Huh?
For all divisions, right? So for the tag titles, for the Divas titles, and
I'm just talking about the World Championship. If you're individualizing the two shows, you need to keep certain shows having certain championships. But when it comes to tag team and women's, it gets a little, you know, it gets a little confusing because it's not like they have a really deep roster. But at the same time, they kind of do have enough where they could fill action on both shows. But it's a challenge because, you know, you don't want to create two separate tag team championships, even though I believe they did do it at one point on the draft. And it did help teams like London and Kendrick and I think it was Lance Cade and Murdoch, you know, get over on their own respective brands. But it's... You know, it's a little bit challenging because when you create more than one title, it creates more storyline opportunities, it devalues the original belt because basically now it's just like, oh, if I can't get the big belt, I'll just get the little belt. You know, it's okay. It's all good. You know,
but sometimes that little belt does help someone actually become a superstar.
It can. The opportunity doesn't happen as often as it probably should, though. But that's WWE's own fault for, you know, not taking advantage of opportunities that they've had in the past. Yeah, I mean, this whole draft, it's a good opportunity to just hit the rewind button and just create a brand new product with, really do a really good shakeup. As far as the mid-card titles, though, I think they should keep, like, the United States Championship and the
US.
Intercontinental. They should keep, you know, one title on one show and the other title on the other show.
Tag
team and women's would be interchangeable. And you keep one world champion for the company to sell your main event program. They've done this in the past, and it's just a formula that works because it's the best way to book it. And it's beneficial for everyone.
They're
going to
do two world titles.
I mean, there's a lot of... with your point, Nick, there's a... some can argue that that's actually not a way, because if you just have one world champion, it really is limiting the potential of the roster. Because you have certain people that are good, that are the big players, and then you have the people that are either put down, that are big players also, but then are downgraded to mid-carders. Look at the stories of Cody Rhodes and Ryback. They got frustrated and left because they felt like they're not getting their opportunities.
Ryback actually leave or no?
Well, they're saying that he might have, because apparently he's not signed. Well,
they were around in times where there was no draft, so they were just being underutilized on both shows. Now that gets even worse, because if you're drafted on a show and not used a lot, you're not really going to be on television.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another factor. I think when they're looking at doing this draft, it's not just, okay, what is good on TV, but also what is good for the stars as well, because it's more of a personal business. I mean, if you're not happy working there, you're obviously going to leave. And I think WWE's starting to realize that if someone's not happy with the way the product is, they don't care about just being on TV. They care about actually performing. And there are some people that are saying, it doesn't matter. Like, if I don't have to be here, I can go to Japan, I can go to ROH, I can go to different promotions if I wanted to. I don't have to stay here. And that's the thing that they're kind of doing.
A perfect example of what you just said. Look at Cody Rhodes. He leaves. He's doing everything right now.
And he's doing it all on his own. And I think that's like what WWE's kind of hesitant on. I mean, speaking of people doing it on their own, Brock Lesnar recently had his fight with UFC. Came back for a one-off. Yeah, and that was a murder. I'm so proud of Brock. Like,
Do you know how much he made?
They're saying over $2.5 million in his purse.
Just off a 15-minute fight.
And here's another thing. And here's what really bothers me. How are other stars going to look at that? If you're a contracted wrestler of WWE and you're told you can't make this appearance, you can't make this appearance, but then this guy can go out and go to UFC and do a one-off fight and make this much money, that's got to make you pissed, right?
Basically going, like, kind of saying what you just said, if you listen to the Art of Wrestling podcast that Colt Cabana does, he did one with CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Punk basically said he wants to wear like the UFC shorts with sponsors.
Yeah.
Triple H and Vince said no, because that's going to hurt the sponsors that work with WWE.
Yep.
Who magically comes back in to the scene? Brock Lesnar with his UFC sponsors.
Jimmy Johns, yep.
So Punk was basically pissed at that because that was his idea. To do the sponsors.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't people get pissed now that, you know, I mean, they're giving certain people shots and they're saying this guy deserves it when he really doesn't. He gets suspended and then what? You know? And that's I think, a big problem right now. So, I mean, let's finish this off with, let's talk about one last thing. What do you guys feel about the mid-card titles? Do you guys feel like they are... we talked about the Intercontinental U.S. titles, they're changing brands and everything. Do you guys feel like they'll ever unify them?
No, they can't.
What do you think?
I think they can.
They really shouldn't.
They shouldn't, right?
I don't think unification only works for one instance. It basically confirms that what you're doing is not working, and we need to stick this together because it's the only way people are going to buy it.
Exactly.
It could be overkill when you do it too many times.
True. I mean, I think they're just trying to reach this thing of uniformity. But like with this draft, there's so many ways it can go. There's so many different opportunities, so much variety in the way they could book stuff. I mean, that's something that we're all interested in. I mean, we're a smarter society, a smarter smarter wrestling base. We know what's going on behind the scenes. We actually are a little bit more intelligent.
We're the people that the creative hate.
Basically, yeah, we're the smart marks that people look at. But if you look at the portion of the audience, 65% of it is all just pretty much fans like us. People that know the deal, that are kind of, they're not skeptic. They're not kind of like, oh, this is fake. They know what's going on. They understand, and they have, some knowledge about what's going on. Have an idea.
Before we close the show out, I have a question for all three of us. We're the commissioner of Raw. With the commissioner of SmackDown, who's your number one pick for each show? Like, you come out, you make the announcement. You're on Raw. You're the GM of Raw. Who's your number one pick?
We'll start with you. We'll go RSN.
My first pick, if I'm the GM of Raw, Seth Rollins.
Rollins. For me, I'd say my first pick. If I was Raw or SmackDown, I'd say Roman Reigns.
No, you're Raw.
Roman Reigns.
Nick?
Nick, what do you say?
I would probably go with maybe Dean Ambrose, or I would even throw a curveball and just pick Kevin Owens, because I think he's the most entertaining thing going right now.
And now... your SmackDown. Now we're gonna go backwards, Nick. You're basically running, like, you're the GM of both of them. So Kevin Owens is gone. Who's your pick for SmackDown?
AJ Styles.
Not bad. Sal.
I agree. AJ Styles.
You picked Reigns, right?
I picked Reigns. Yeah. Now I pick AJ for SmackDown.
Okay. Now.
Matter of fact, let me retract. I said John Cena.
Okay. Actually. Now, for me, SmackDown, I'm doing a big-ass curveball right now. Finn Balor. Because it's Shane. You know he likes to shake things up.
That's true. I could probably see that.
He's going to call up an NXT guy as his number one pick.
And they're eligible, so it can happen.
Yeah, that probably would be a smart way to draw instant attention to SmackDown. I just wonder how big of the ratings going to be. They're probably banking on maybe average to a little bit higher than average ratings for this live SmackDown. But, who's to know, if it's going to go the same length as Raw? Because if we remember correctly, the go-home show before Money in the Bank got a 2.5, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the other few Raws after that, I think they did pretty okay. I think they did it by hours. So certain hours it was pretty bad, certain hours it was pretty good. And they keep switching it up.
That's usually how it goes, though.
Yeah, I mean, but knowing Vince, knowing the his mindset on the investors, the people behind everything of the company, they're looking to get beyond this. They want to go soar beyond this. They want to go 5 million people or more every single week. They're keeping the expectations high. I mean, also, you got to think of the fact that there's going to be more and more, stuff happening, as time goes on. We'll find out later on. I mean, I think we can all say that we're all excited for this whole thing. I mean,
SmackDown, we all are.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown is being live. I mean, it brings me back to those days of Ruthless Aggression where we're watching, it brings me back to when I was a kid, watching Raw. Watching SmackDown Friday night, anything can happen anytime, no spoilers. You see it, and it's kind of organic, So that's going to be kind of.
That's good though. That there's no more spoilers. That's amazing.
That's
going to be a big thing. When SmackDown was on Friday nights, it did feel like a death show though. But really I think the key again is trying to create the feeling that SmackDown is a show where anything can happen. It'll work for Nitro. It'll work for Raw. You gotta give SmackDown some time to shake that connotation of it being a B show. And I think this is a really good step towards making it feel like a must-see program. And Honestly, I think it will be. Yeah, maybe I could only do one thing, and that's watch and see what happens. And then angrily comment on Facebook.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want.
Yeah, we'll just start complaining about how we're not going to watch WWE and then end up watching Raw the next night or next week or whatever. But, I mean, nonetheless, we're all hyped. We're all excited. I know what we're doing on Monday and Tuesdays now, you know.
Wednesdays.
Oh, and Thursdays. And hopefully Fridays, there'll be something that's going to pop up, but we'll see. But this
I think Friday might be, like, the relaxed day.
Or if TNA decides to do something, you know. But
oh, no, they're moving to Thursdays.
Well, we'll see. I mean, they always change up their schedule every time WWE does something. But, I mean, nonetheless, I know, Nick, you're pretty stacked because you're going to be covering four days worth of wrestling programming on certain seasons fall and summer.
I think this will benefit Nick, though, because now it's 4 days in a row. So he has Friday, Saturday, Sunday to catch up.
Yeah, sort of. But it's kind of just staying the same, only Impact and SmackDown are switching places. And Lucha Underground is ending because the season is over.
Yep, but, I mean, we'll see from there, but... Again, you can check out PWO, Pro Wrestling Opinion, for all your wrestling news, articles, feeds. In case you ever missed a show, you can always watch it. You know,
just remember, reading is fundamental. Reading about wrestling is everything.
Nick, you should make that a catchphrase for your site. I mean, that rolls right off the tongue. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I already have the tag handle of...
You should copyright it. Yeah, you should copyright it, trademark it before WWE takes it and says, nope, you can't use that because, I mean, we got your back, right? We can say, I think the other people that watch our programming, they have your back too. But nonetheless, be sure to check out the site. Be sure to check out our Facebook page, our YouTube page, and all the other social media we got. And also another thing, be sure to check us out on SoundCloud, actually. We have a couple of podcasts up right now on SoundCloud. You can check it out. Give it a listen or two. It's good for those times where, you know, you don't have to watch, you know, let's say if you're driving or you're doing something, which we don't, you know, advise. You could be doing something, you could be working out, and you just pop in your headphones and you'll be listening to us talk and rant and do all these other stuff. But nonetheless, we'll see you there. Links will be posted, and we'll be sure to check, you know, be sure to check us out. So I'll see you from there.
See you guys.
Adios.